Grace and peace and mercy are yours this day through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Once again, today is the first week of our summer preaching series, God Makes a Way, in which we are examining Bible stories of these times when God's faithful people seemingly couldn't see a way forward, and yet God responded in faithfulness, and people often responded in gratitude for God making a way where it seemed like there was not one. Related to that, just remind you, each week we're going to be releasing a video, 5 to 7 minutes or so, called Gospel Unplugged, in which one, at least, of the preachers for the upcoming Sunday is interviewed with some initial thoughts about the story to get our hearts and minds thinking about what it might bring to us. And you are invited and encouraged to join in, think about the story, and carry it with you throughout the week to see what God might have in store for you and for all of us in the stories of God's faithfulness to us. With that, the first story we encounter in the series today is this one of Abraham getting the renewed promise that he will have descendants galore. In fact, that his ancestors will be as numerous as the stars. The backstory to this story is that the first time we hear of God speaking to Abraham is when he is already 75 years old. And we learn later that his wife Sarah is 10 years younger, making her 65 at the time we hear of Abraham and God's first discussion. I think you can't blame Abraham for wondering what in the world is going on. Abraham had been promised by God that his ancestors would be numerous. In fact, earlier in chapter 15, God says to Abraham, I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth. In other words, if a person can count the dust of the earth, you'll be able to count your ancestors, Abraham. So I get it when God shows up again here in chapter 15 and says to Abraham, do not be afraid, Abram. He's called Abram at this point still. I am your shield. Your reward shall be great. And Abram replies, well, what will you give me? For I don't even have a kid yet. In other words, Abram is saying, really, God? Really? What about all that your ancestors will be as numerous as the dust talk? But God reiterates the promise and gives Abraham another visual aid. He has him look up at the sky there in the dark desert, which I assume would be even more amazing than the sky and the stars, looking at them from the perspective of a northern Minnesota lake. And God says, believe me, Abraham, your own family is going to be as numerous as the stars. And here's the miracle, I think. Somehow, miraculously, one could even say illogically, Abraham continues to have faith, or at least continues to hope that God will be faithful. This story is quoted throughout Scripture, which includes even twice in the New Testament, as the great example of what relationship in faith with God is like. One of my best friends and I have a phrase that we utter to each other fairly often. You see, we've been pals for a long time now, maybe 20 years. We've seen each other through countless times, through times of joy and celebration, laugh out loud, hilarity, dumbfoundedness, unexpected twists and turns, some of the worst kind of tragedies, weird transitions and seemingly ridiculous events and experiences and connections with people for which it seems we could have never in our wildest dreams imagined. In other words, you know, life. And whenever something of total unexpected amazement happens, we often look at each other and simply say this phrase, you can't make it up. Which is a way of saying, well, here we are. Look at what we saw, witnessed, and lived. Look at what we suffered, which we never would have expected. which we couldn't foresee, and still here we are, living. Continuing on in hope, living for today with just a shred of hope for the future, and who knows what will happen. You can't make it up. And isn't that the truth of life? It goes beyond what we can see here and now. It goes beyond that for which we could plan. It goes beyond that which we could even imagine. How about you? Do you resonate with that? Anything happened in your life or in the life of the world which was unexpected? How about in the last year and a half or so? What about in the last week? My goodness, how about yesterday? Something that you couldn't possibly have planned for, and here you are. Here we are. What will happen tomorrow? What fresh hell or heaven will cross the headlines? Or what momentous life-altering or life-changing event will send your personal life or our collective one on a new trajectory? Do you know? Of course not. Chances are, we might not even be able to make it up. And this isn't to say that we don't live life with intentionality and action and planning. What often goes unnoted in this story of Abraham is that after Abraham believes in this chapter 15, once God shows him the stars again, he and Sarah will still go at least another 13 years without a kid. Abraham has a son, Ishmael, at age 86, with one of his servant women, Hagar. And it's not until he's 100 and Sarah is 90 that they finally have a child between the two of them. What were those 13 years like for Abraham and Sarah? Did he ever have doubts? Did he ever question God? Theologian Walter Brueggemann has a great description of faith in this circumstance. He says, faith means to trust God's future and to live assured of that future even in the deathly present. I love that description. Trust God's future and live assured of that future even in the deathly present. About 14 years ago now, as just a young whippersnapper wannabe preacher, I used to visit Olga in the nursing home. At that time, Olga was 96 years old. She has since died. And when I would visit her, I always noted that she had gone blind. She wasn't born blind, but in her old age, she had lost her eyesight. And she was as sweet as can be. It was fun to learn about her life and talk to her. And every time I would go to visit her, I would greet her and say, "Hi, Olga. It's Charlie here. How are you today?" And almost every single time, she would reply, "I'm just waiting to go home." She was talking about dying. And in other words, going home into the arms of her Savior. And I loved this reply from Olga. I admired it. Finally, one day, I decided I would tell her. And so I asked her again, "Olga, how are you today?" And she gave her usual reply, "I'm just waiting to go home." And then I said, "You know, Olga, you always say that. And every time I so admire your faith." And then Olga, with her blind eyes, would turn and look right at my face. And she said, matter-of-factly, "Well, you should have it too." Faith goes beyond what we can see. It's what the Apostle Paul even tried to articulate when he was writing to the Corinthian church in the second letter to the Corinthians. He said it like this. He said, "So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. Paul went on a few verses later to say it like this: for we walk by faith, not by sight. Life is life. It's filled with who knows what. You can't make it up. And yet in it, we are called to life and living in hope. We're called to trust God's future, even in the circumstance of a deathly present. And this story is told for you and me because, after all, you and I are ancestors of Abraham. You could say we are the stars God showed Abraham long ago in the desert, when he was certainly way too old to have any kids. And in the story of Jesus Christ, we hear from God that we are adopted into Abraham's great family. We are the result of God's great promise to Abraham long ago. All people, God's great family of all the beloved. And the promise that God has for you and me may not be that we are going to have kids. Sadly, there are those of us who haven't been able to and have wished for it for so long. And the promise isn't that we're going to get everything that we hope for, yet the promise is that God will not stop walking with us, will not stop looking after us, will not stop calling us into the future that God hopes for, and will not stop even when everything looks utterly hopeless to us. The story of Christ is that God won't even stop in death. For even in death, God makes a way. So perhaps as we begin on this preaching series this summer, that's what we hear. As we go out this week, perhaps we take a peek at the stars and remember God's faithfulness to old man Abraham. And then maybe look back to your own life. Even in and especially in all of the deathly reality of it, and continue to look beyond what we can currently see, to look to what cannot be seen, and then step forth in hope and action for God's future, which is peace for the world, love for neighbor and yourself, helping others find and see God's future when the present is so difficult, to take joy in each breath, to have gratitude for even the slightest provisions, and then extend generosity to others. That's the miracle, living in faith. Just as it was reckoned to Abraham as righteousness, so it is reckoned to you. And after all, what else can we do? You can't make it up. God's peace to you, God's presence with you, and thanks be to God. Amen.